Welcome to Open Studio, where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. My guests today are Lucy Jones, founder of the Harry Dean Stanton Fest, which is July 10th through 12th in downtown Lexington, and multiple award-winning actress Sean Young, joining us by Zoom, who is part of the roster of guests coming to town to celebrate Kentucky native and acclaimed actor Harry Dean Stanton. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Lucy, I want to start out by asking you, can you tell us what folks can expect to experience with the Harry Dean Stanton Fest?
Absolutely. We have 3 days of films and music and folks who Harry loved coming to chat about their friend. So it's a great sense of community. And this would be Harry's 100th birthday. So we're celebrating his centennial.
Wow.
So we're kicking things off. Actually, you said downtown Lexington, and that has always been true in the past. But within the last couple of years, we've reached out because Harry's ashes are interred at a cemetery right across the county line. And we kick things off with a screening there, an outdoor screening. So we're starting things off this year with Cool Hand Luke there, and then we go through the weekend and then cap things off with Paris, Texas at the Kentucky Theater on Sunday.
Super. Bluegrass Memorial Gardens,
that
I'm guessing?
That is the one,
okay.
Indeed.
And they're cool with accommodating?
They are amazing. They are so incredibly kind. This was inspired by a Hollywood Forever cemetery in Los Angeles. They've been doing a screening series for a number of years, and it's great fun. And so I reached out to Harry's family to ask if this was an idea that they felt comfortable with, and they were very, very supportive of the idea. And then it turned out that the cemetery has just taken it and run with it. They've been making paraphernalia for us. They've been printing little cups for it. I mean, they just get so excited, and they're such a wonderful partner, so it's great.
Wow.
And you can watch a movie literally just feet from Harry, his headstone, yeah.
Nice. A little Hollywood tradition right here in central Kentucky.
Indeed.
What is your connection to Harry Dean Stanton, and what was the inspiration behind founding the Harry Dean Stanton Fest?
To be totally honest, it sort of came about by accident. I had been a big Harry fan ever since I had been watching him my whole life. FX Feeney, the great film historian, has this wonderful thing that he says in Tom Thurman's documentary about Harry Dean Stanton, which is that we experience him our entire lives. As filmgoers, you can't avoid him because, I mean, just, you know, in terms of the volume of his work. And so I had experienced him my whole life, but I didn't really connect with him until I saw a midnight screening of Repo Man when I was 15 years old at the Kentucky Theater. And I walked out and I said, oh my gosh, who was that? I mean, he was just such a force. He's so incredible in the film. And somebody said, oh, that's Mary's uncle. And it turned out, I was like, what are you talking about? And it turned out our friend was related to him. The familial relationship was not what they thought. But and I was like, what do you mean related? And she was like, well, he's from Kentucky. And so I always took such great pride in the fact that he was a Kentuckian. And when I moved back to Kentucky from California, some friends had started a film society, and they asked me to be part of it. And it was, we had a coffee meeting, and it was one of those things where, you know, I wasn't really prepared. And they were like, what would you like to bring to the Lexington Film League? And I had no idea what to say. And I just blurted out, we should have a festival for Harry Dean Stanton. And they said, who? And as soon as they said who, because these are cinephiles, they knew who Harry is, they just didn't know his name.
Yeah.
And when they said that, I was like, well, we absolutely need to have a festival, because everybody needs to know his name and feel great pride, like I do, that he's from our community. So that's how it all started, sort of by accident.
Wow. And you've met him, I correct?
Yes. I reached out to him to make sure, you know, he was comfortable with the idea of having a festival in his honor. And he was so kind and so gracious. I went out to Los Angeles, spent some time with him. He came to the festival 1 year with Michelle Phillips, and that was delightful. He was just such a wonderful guest, and such a good person. He became a friend, and he's deeply missed.
Did he still have an affinity for Kentucky?
He did. I mean, his relationship with Kentucky was complicated. It was funny. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't want to talk too much because Sean's here. This is so exciting.
I'm learning something too.
he said that he didn't want to. He was like, I just don't want to be. Growing up, I wanted to leave because I saw the old folks sitting on their porches and their rocking chairs, and I kind of knew the world was a little bit bigger, and I wanted to get out and do some things. And so when he came to town, my mom, as a joke, put a couple of rocking chairs out on the front porch, and he never left them. I mean, he loved it. He loved nothing more than sitting on the front porch. And when I asked him later what his favorite part of the festival was, he was like sitting there looking at the trees. And I was like, oh, Harry. So it was very full circle, which was nice.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he got to experience the festival once, at least. Now, Sean, I took the liberty of watching Young Doctors in Love this past mm-hmm. weekend. I had never seen it before, so ashamed of the fact. This 1982 film that stars everybody. I'm just amazed at the cast. Even like IMDb did not do justice to like what I saw on the screen.
A lot of cameos too.
Yes, yeah. They really leaned into the soap opera alums. What was the experience working with Harry on the set like?
Harry's great. He was, oh honey, keep the dog quiet. Sorry.
That's okay.
We had these honey wagons, you know, where each of us had like a little spot, and they're in LA. They were popular at that time, and everybody had their own little spot trailer. I'm not sure if you saw the making of Young Doctors in Love on my YouTube.
I did not.
You should check that out. It's MSY Pariah, and there's a little film about the making of Young Doctors in Love, and it's back then I shot everything on this Super 8 camera, and it was fun. And he's in the little video of the making of it. So we were all a bunch of people hanging out waiting, because in those days in the 80s, gosh, was this like 1980 or 81? I think it was 1981. In Los Angeles at that time, actors, we made a lot more money than we do today. I mean, that's of course not true of all actors, because there is a kind of, you know, a class of actors that make all the money now. But back then, more of us made more of the money, because the 80s was a kind of good decade for actors, you know, and there was a lot going on in the 80s too, in terms of drug use and, you know, people and that kind of thing. I don't see that as much today, but of course I wouldn't really know today. But Harry was funny, amusing, very chill, not a, you know, he wasn't like a boss guy, like he didn't boss you around or anything like that. And there are other actors who had a long relationship like Harry, who would boss you around, and the younger actors, we always kind of respected that. But Harry was just somebody that wanted to, you know, sit and talk, and if you wanted to talk about your character, he was into that. He was very conscientious.
Was it kind of a, did you feel it was like a peer relationship?
Well, for myself at the time, no, because I was pretty much a newcomer. And in 1980, I'd only been in the business for about a year. So it was all very new to me. But he was very funny. And, you know, because we were all such a kind of ensemble, there was a lot of just hanging out. In my little video, there were lunch tables, and we all ate out under a tent, you know, for lunch. So that's also in the video. And there was lots of times, you know, where we were hanging out, just waiting for the next shot. That it took a lot longer in later eras, like in the 90s, a lot of actors made their money up in Vancouver. And the reason was it was cheaper to work up there, but they worked us pretty hard. We worked like, you know, 30 setups a day. It was a lot of work. You didn't really get to hang out or sit and talk and wait around a lot. But there was a lot of that in the early parts of the 80s where you sat around a lot and waited for everybody to be ready, especially with that many cast. And you can imagine how many shots we had to get. We had to get a lot of shots. Not that they ended up in the movie necessarily, because a lot didn't, but you know, that was the shot list, and that was, we waited around a lot.
It'd be interesting to see the unaired scenes from the movie. I'd be curious.
I agree. I think that would be.
There's a scene in there that really sort of stood out. I'm a musician, so the scene where they're serenading, I can't remember the name of the tune that they were singing. Was that in the script, or was that something that came up sort of spontaneously?
Remind me of the scene. It's been 40 years.
It was a song almost sung barbershop quartet style.
Who's singing to who?
The men were singing to you, I believe.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I have no memory of it. Oh my God.
Well, like you said, 40 years.
Watch the movie again. Maybe I do remember a lot from my career over the years, and it was, you know, a 4-decade career. And I just finished working now. So it's, you do find Clint Eastwood said, you know, after a while, it's hard to remember everybody because, you know, after 4 decades, there's a lot of people that you meet and you come into contact with and then you don't ever see again in many cases.
You know, I can give you a little bit of Harry Dean trivia here as it applies. Harry was actually in a barbershop quartet when he was in Kentucky with his brother. Wow. So I can see him totally working that in for sure. He loved to bring music in whenever he could.
That's fun to know. And hard music to sing. Did your paths ever cross again? Did you keep up with each other, Sean, you and Harry?
Well, I ran into Harry a couple times. There was a very popular restaurant called Dantana's, and I think it was on Santa Monica Boulevard, and a lot of people from show business would go there. Someone who was there a lot was one of the actors in this show was Dabney Coleman, and Dabney and Harry used to go to Dantana's a lot, and I had been invited to go there by Jeff Goldblum, because he played the piano there on some nights, right? Because he's actually a very fluent pianist, and he was always there a particular night of the week playing, and so everybody would kind of show up there. It was definitely a place to be seen kind of place, you know, back in that time period. I have no idea if that's still the case today, but it was then. So we would run into each other. A couple times I remember running into Dabney and Harry at Dantana's back in the early 80s, but probably once later after that at the DGA Theater in LA. I don't know, we were invited to go to a screening there, and I don't remember what we went to watch, but that's also kind of a go to be seen kind of place.
Lucy was telling me you've been a guest at Harry Dean Stanton Fest before. What brings you back?
Lucy!
Aw, shucks.
Yeah. It's we had such a nice time. Bob and I had such a nice time there last time. He said, oh, let's go again. And I said, yeah, she's going to be, you know, having it in July 2nd through the, I mean, 10th through the 12th, right?
Right.
Yeah, 12th through the 10th of July. And it's funny, I drove there. I was going to drive there. I ended up driving there, Lucy, and I took I took all the addresses of my parents and where they went to school. And I went by this one place, which was at 260 South Lime Street. And it's a real estate business now, but it was a dormitory for girls when my mom was there.
Oh my God.
It was fun. I like doing that kind of thing. I like going back to addresses because I inherited a lot of the letters and journals and stuff of my mom. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go and see where she stayed in a dormitory before it's what it is now. And I had someone there take a picture of me on the stairways because I could just imagine these girls in the 50s running up and down these stairs on South Lime Street. And I walked around and I found the address where my dad was, because both my dad and my mom met at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. That's where they met. And so I just was taking kind of a time travel trip to see what it was like. Of course, everything is very different now. Of course, time doesn't stand still. But it was interesting to me to see how their stomping grounds looked. It was fun for me. It's like time travel.
I love that so much.
Yeah, me too. Walk somebody's footsteps. And I every now and then, if I'm in Louisville, I will swing by the home that I lived in until I was 4 years old just to just to see what's going on in the neighborhood, how it's developed. So
where did they live?
Oh God, I could tell you the name of the street, but I couldn't tell you what part of the city it's in.
Yeah. My mom grew up in Louisville on, they call it on the west side. I think it's on North 41st Street. And we used to go there a lot. And it was, so there was a period of time when it was, you know, it had a certain demographic, but downtown Louisville was dying. It was decaying. And they had a really big renovation, I feel like they really made that part anyway of Louisville kind of regentrified. And I remember going to the Kentucky Derby with my grandparents a lot. And when I made Stripes, they made it in Louisville. And so I would go and see my, and what's interesting is my dad ran away to the army and he was at Fort Knox in Louisville.
And that's where you filmed, right?
Yes. And I remember walking around going, my dad was here. And what was strange was somehow my dad was able to fake his age, because when he ran away to the army, he was 14. Wow. And, you know, he somehow, who knows what he did back then? Because remember, back then, IDs didn't necessarily have pictures on them.
Yeah.
You know, so somehow he ran away to the army, and he got out of the army before he even finished high school. And then he went back to high school and in Newport, Kentucky, and finished high school in 2 years instead of four. So what a drama, right?
Yeah.
That's such a life.
Well, and you got to walk his footsteps at Fort Knox too, which is kind of neat. Where did you?
And I've gone back to Newport as well to go and see the house that he grew up in. So, and his was more in that area of Newport that has also gentrified a little bit. The kind of, it's almost like Astoria, New York, like those. I guess they're brownstones that are right next to each other. So yeah. They only have windows in the front and in the back. They don't really have any side windows. That's he grew up in a place like that, down in that downtown area of Newport.
Now, this is getting into the weeds, but I got to ask, do you remember where your mom went to high school in Louisville?
Yes. She went to Presentation Academy.
Oh, I don't know if that's still around.
It is, yeah. And I actually met someone, a friend of mine, whose mother went to Presentation also. And I thought, small world. She was before my mom graduated. But yeah, it was an all girls, I think it was a private school. Because I know that my grandparents on my mom's side, neither of them went past the eighth grade. And one worked in a shirt factory, in the Enro shirt factory. And then my grandma, off and on, she worked at a meatpacking facility as a secretary. So they were both very proud of the fact that they had been able to not only get my mom through high school, but also my mom graduated college in 1964 in Oberlin. She graduated from Oberlin College.
Oh, wow.
And what was interesting is I have this memory, because I was really young. I was probably four. Yeah, I was four in 1964. And I was sitting there, and Martin Luther King spoke at her graduation. So I remember seeing her walk down, and, you know, and in Oberlin, there's a big Tappan Square, and that's where their graduation was. So yes, it's been interesting going back in history. And I was trying to find, Lucy, I'm going to try and find it before the festival. But I was going to try to find my journals of when I was working on Young Doctors in Love, because I thought that would be interesting. And I would see if there was anything about Harry in there, which I'm sure there probably was, because I was very good at sort of recording what was going on around me. It was fun for me.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I'm so excited.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
So
I would like
cool.
that too. So I've been looking in the journals and doing a little, as you can see, housekeeping. I don't, you know, I'm like, oh, we got to get this cleaned up, but oh well. Yeah, I've been looking for the journals and I'm going to see if I can't find them before I get there.
That is the most amazing news.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that's, you know, readings. And so you kept a daily journal on the set?
Yeah, for every movie. And also to this day, I've been writing in a journal since I was 13. It's kind of like my go-to mental health.
I get that. I get that. I admire your discipline and commitment to it.
It's more like an addiction, really, than a
To circle it back to Harry and the festival, what do you get out of the interplay that you have with the other actors who've also worked with him, or even because there's some musicians, composers, and other folks who have directors who've worked with him? What do you get out of the interplay that you get to have with them at a gathering like this?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. I think for me, just going someplace and not staying at home is like opening my doors, getting in my car and going, right? I try to encourage that. And I ask Bob, my husband, to encourage me to do that because it's very easy. We're both 66 now, and it's so nice to just not have to get up and do anything. It's after years and years and years of working really hard and getting up very early, you know, like in the 80s, for this movie in particular, for Young Doctors in Love, they shot it in some place like San Pedro, right? So we had to get there at 5:30. So I was on the road at 4:30. Pretty much every day. And we worked every day in this place. So I had to drive like an hour. But I remember, oh, this is terrible. This was when I first got to LA. I wasn't really a very good driver. I had to get a driver's license and it took me twice to get it. And on this show, on Young Doctors in Love, they gave me a car. And this is so dumb, but I forgot to put gas in it. I had lived in New York City and I was not really a driver yet, you know? And my car ran out of gas and some nice guy, this guy picked me up and took me to the set. And they were, I said, what happened? I said, I don't know. He said, did you put gas in it? I thought, oh, I forgot to put gas in it. And I felt so stupid, but, you know, I remember being on the freeway in the morning and the sun would be just coming up and it was very peaceful. It's very peaceful to work in the movie business when you have to get up early.
Well, let me rephrase that question before, because I don't think I asked it very well. When you get to meet other folks at a festival like this who have worked with Harry, what do you learn about him that you may not have known before?
Well, I mean, nothing that I want to say here, you know, I mean, because all what actors do in general is we dish about what other actors are like. So we know, I mean, that's, we exchange our information. Oh, you worked with so-and-so, what are they like? And it can be like, oh, they were great. Or it can be like, oh my God, you know, like be careful. That's true about a lot of actors. That's what we do. We exchange information about what someone's like to work with, because the nature of being an actor is kind of intimate. You know, there's a certain level of vulnerability and required. I mean, not in all situations, but, you know, you're reenacting or you're acting out a scene and you're having to give somebody your full attention. And, you know, some actors have mental problems, you know, they just do. It comes with the territory, especially like if you become really famous, you know, that can be an issue that can cause issues for people, or, you know, whatever the reason was you wanted to get into show business. There's a lot of actors who are also awesome. You know, they're very creative and they're very fun and they have a funny sense of humor and they keep you laughing. Right. I mean, they just keep you laughing the whole time. So everybody works very differently. And so, you know, you can find out all kinds of things.
Well, I want to bring it back to Lucy, who's sitting here very, very patiently listening and having a good time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm having a blast. I'm just so happy to see you, Sean. I'm so excited to have you in town.
So to kind of wrap this up, tell us how we can learn more about the Harry Dean Stanton Fest.
Absolutely. You can go to our website, which is www.harrydeanstantonfest.org.
And I'm tempted to like leave the recording going and Sean, have you tell some of those stories that you said you couldn't say and put it behind a paywall so that it's premium content or something like that.
But you'll have to come to the festival for that.
We had
a great Q&A with Sean last time she was here and was so candid. And people to this day come up and tell me that was one of the best Q&As they've ever seen because you were just so honest and so fun and so funny. So we're just so excited to have you back.
Well, now I do.
I'm going to look for those journals.
Please.
Maybe that could be another little event.
That would be amazing. A dramatic reading.
There's stuff there. Let's do that. That would be fun.
Yay.
Well, this has been a wonderful time, both of you. I want to say I appreciate you stopping in. I want to thank Lucy Jones, founder of the Harry Dean Stanton Fest, and actress Sean Young, who will be a featured guest at the festival July 10th through 12th in downtown Lexington and also at Bluegrass Memorial Gardens for one of the events. So thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.